For those who prefer their cars rocket-powered, flying in high with no boost but holding on to the dream, it's Knox Phoenix and Savage coming to you live from Manfield.
So, Savage, you know what today is.
I think it's Wednesday.
Wait a second. That's not Savage's voice. I intimately know Savage's voice. Who the heck is this?
I'm definitely Savage.
Wait, this is another voice I know intimately because I have bowled with him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know because you talk so much trash when you crush me in bowling. This is Pluto, isn't it?
Yes.
How did you even get into the studio?
Your wife let me in.
Okay, so you may not be Savage, but that was the most Savage comment I could ever think of. So where is Savage?
I'm not sure. You had me take over.
Sure. Okay. You saw an empty studio seat and decided to just walk in and sit down, make yourself at home.
Yes.
Kind of like Goldilocks and her completely lack of respect for people's space.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I think I saw on Twitter that Savage actually was bicycling and he took a spill and he has a concussion now.
Oh.
So I'm operating under the theory that you have pushed him off his bike in order to take over his spot on the podcast.
I'm honestly offended that you would even bring up such a terrible accusation.
Well, can you prove where you were yesterday?
No.
You both live in the same state. You've been going on for months and months and months just hitting me up with Steam messages about how you want a spot on the show.
It's totally not true.
I think that you saw Savage cycling past your house, and you saw your opportunity to strike.
Okay. I can't deny it.
Tell you what, I'm a gracious guy, so I'll let you use this as like a trial period. We'll get to the end of this episode, and we'll see how you did. We'll see if maybe you deserve a spot on Live from Manfield. I don't know. It's not as easy as Professional Rocket League, I will tell you that.
Are you sure?
I'm dead sure. We have to, do hours and hours of training for the timbre of our voices and keep up to date on all the intricate news articles of Rocket League.
Oh, I guess you're right.
All you have to do is hit a ball with a car.
You've got me
anyone
there.
Can do that. Well, all right. So it's, normally I talk about something not even Rocket League related. I'm just so thrown. You know, it's National Farmers Day. That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, I heard about that. Doesn't really affect me in any way possible, but it's cool.
Well, that's right. You've never crate farmed?
Nope, can't say I have.
You've never XP farmed?
Nope, can't say I have.
Oh, dang. Well, you live in a state where there's like tons of farmers.
Oh god, yes. There's plenty of giant tractors driving down my street.
Okay, we'll talk about the frustration of
if you get stuck behind them. And they're almost as wide as the entire street. It looks like you can drive underneath them. And you get really tempted, but then you're like, no, that's probably not a good idea. So you just drive 15 miles per hour behind them for 5 miles. Then they finally just turn into the cornfield and you're fine.
Have you ever been late to work because of a tractor?
No, I can't say I have.
Dang. Well, you obviously haven't because you would have tried to drive under one of those bad boys. Mm-hmm. I don't know. How big of a car do you have? Do you think like you could maybe try it at least one time?
It's just a normal Camry. It's average size. It was like a smart car, possibly.
Believe it or not, I actually have driven under, not a tractor, but, like a tractor trailer, like a semi-truck.
A semi-truck?
Yeah. My first car was a 1990 Mazda Miata, which is like that little tiny two-seater convertible. Mm-hmm. And as a prank, I've had some of my friends in high school actually pick it up and move it onto the sidewalk. It was that small and light. So tiny car. It's like a clown car. But there was one of those like wide load extended like semi-trucks blocking an intersection one day. And I was a young, stupid kid. And I had the top down. So my car was like 3 feet tall. And I just drove right under it, man. I think I even ran a red light to do it. But I saw my opportunity and I took it.
Well, that's something else.
I think I like clipped my like sun visor on like one of the like underhang things, but I do not recommend. There are some people that honk their horns.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Horns get honked in cars. Cars hit balls of Soccer League. There's our transition. Welcome to Live from Manfield, a Rocket League podcast where we jump on Rocket League news, boost you straight to Rocketeer, all the while scoring our amazing voices into your ear goals. I am Nox Phoenix, and I'm here with...
Pluto.
Right, Pluto from Genesis. There's been a lot that's been happening in Rocket League this past week. And of course, everything always happens the day that we release an episode so that it's like, you know, every time we have something to report on, it's old news anyway. But you found out where you're heading in December, didn't you?
Yes. Amsterdam.
You know, this may show just the ignorance of an American. I don't even know what country Amsterdam's in.
Pretty sure it's in the Netherlands.
Oh.
But that's only after I looked it up.
Did you watch the little demo video on what's all at the theater of Amsterdam?
Oh yeah, of course. It's a very nice place, and it's like only the building's only like 2 years old, so it's not very old.
It's true. Now at the last RLCS in LA, one of the things that I remember is it was a great venue. It was like an old theater. But the screen that they had on the wall, I noticed, like, could only handle, like, 23 FPS.
Yeah.
Which really kind of sucked for watching it live. It was cool to be there and, like, you know, see the games. So it's pretty safe to say we're not going to have to deal with that at this new venue.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a much more tech-friendly environment.
Now, in the video, they showed that, like, it can have, like, a super ultra-wide screen. Do you think that they're going to utilize the features of having a widescreen, or they're going to try to keep everything formatted the same way as they do for the stream?
That's a good question. I'm sure they're pretty limited since they have to use a stream, so it's good. We'll have to see, I guess.
What if they had permanent player cams for each player while the stream still stayed on its like own little screen thing and people who weren't there couldn't see everyone's player cams? That'd be pretty sick.
Yep.
And it'd make use of that super huge screen. I think it's going
to
happen.
We'll have to see. It's always now, so much you can speculate.
It's true. It's true. At this point, you guys haven't made it to the LAN yet, have you? Or like, is it pretty much guaranteed Genesis is there?
It's not guaranteed by any means. We're 3-1 right now, and we have to play Exodus, Take Three, and G2 in the next.
Some would
2 weeks.
Say the most difficult competition in the I mean, I didn't hear Kings in there, but
I mean we're pretty much guaranteed to make it to the next stage. We're guaranteed to make it to the top six, and at this point we're gunning for either top two or good seeding for the next like week or two, because like G2, like in their situation, they'll be happy if they get sixth place, because they're gunning for that opportunity to make a showing in the tournament. Because they're like 0-3 right now.
Now, it seems that they might be getting a second wind and that they might maybe work out some of the issues that they've been having. Are you concerned? Have you been scrimming them? Do you know any of the inside goody-goody details?
I mean, we've been scrimming them every so often. We scrimmed them last night, actually, and they honestly didn't look too great. Like, I told Gambit, which is their coach, that he had his work cut out for him.
Oh no! Wow, you are savage.
Yeah, but I think it's bad for us that we play them the last week, because they're only, I doubt they'll get any worse. They'll probably only like work on their issues and get better at this point. So I kind of wish we'd play them earlier, but we'll see.
Now, having the excellent perspective of being someone who actually gets to play against them and also know what's going on more than anyone else in a pro match. Would you say, I mean, what would you attribute their faltering to? Like, more mechanical issues? Are they having trouble, like, meshing and rotating together?
Mechanically, they're the best in the world. That's the only reason they're getting as many wins as they are. Like, if they didn't have three of the best mechanically skilled players in the U.S., they'd probably be a lot worse. Like, they really need to work on their rotation and awareness of where their teammates are. Like, they have passing plays here and there. It's just rotation is really bad right now.
That's actually fascinating to me, because it shows how difficult it can be to acquire something like rotation. And I think it's encouraging to, like, you know, people who may be on the bubble of playing on the pro scene, because if you can practice your rotation and not heavily rely on your mechanics, you can see three of the best mechanical players in the world struggling to, you know, make top 10.
Yeah.
Point. Now, this past week you took a break from the RLCS and you played in something called Midseason Mayhem. What even happened? Like, what was it? What was it like?
Midseason Mayhem was a good break. It was a nice break from league play. It was just more of a for fun tournament. Put some money in the pockets of the players.
And a for fun tournament with $10,000 prize pools, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. All right. So the first three matches, or the first two matches, were on non-standard maps. The third match was a mutator mashup of sorts. And if you made it to matches 4 and 5, then you had mutators and rumble happening again. What all did you see show up in your games that you guys played?
We played most of the non-standard maps, and like some of the mutators weren't that bad. Like they were, I mean, some of them like pinball, they were just 50-50. Like, doesn't matter which teams are playing each other. It's just kind of a flip a coin and one of them's going to win, basically, kind of thing. But if you get like Friendly Fire, which is basically a regular game with demo on contact, that was a bit more strategic. I mean, it's closer to a normal game. You saw a lot of one player souping in and demolishing the whole team, leaving an open goal. It was really entertaining.
Huh. Interesting. Did you guys do anything as a team to adapt to those different like situations? Like, you know, for pinball, did you try to keep just three men in net and hope that you were able to block something random, or what?
If it was a mutator that had the ball going at faster speeds, we had one guy on our side of the field at all times, basically. But if it was like, let's see, what else were there? If it was like a cube, if it was like anything to do with cubes, we're much more cautious of the bounces, maybe even letting the bounce happen at all more than often than not, because that was, oh my god, don't even get me started on cube pinball.
There was cube pinball? Did that show up in one of your guys' games?
Sure. I don't think it did. I don't remember, honestly. We only had like one where we had to use a cube.
What were some of the non-standard maps that you guys played on?
We played on Metropia, we played on Wasteland, Cosmic, Neo-Tokyo, I believe, and Octagon, maybe missing one or two others.
And do you think it was fairly easy to adapt to the new environments, or was
for the
it not
for the most part, I liked most of them. Like, we're used to Neo-Tokyo and Wasteland by now, but Octagon is actually a lot of fun to play on. Metropia and Pillars. I don't think we played on Pillars, I don't remember. But Pillars is just not fun. Metropia and Pillars are my least favorites.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, on a map like Octagon, what does that do to your rotational like game?
It's a lot more ground play. Like, there's hardly any wall play. It's so wide. It kind of messed up our rotations a small amount. We probably left our goal open a little more often than we should have. But yeah.
You guys finished second in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
We couldn't and stop that... the plumber. Unfortunately.
Second. Of course, to the ironic winner of the entire thing, G2.
Yeah, that was interesting.
They made it through everything without dropping a single game. Now, say what you want about like the luck aspect of everything. That's kind of crazy. So I think I figured it out. I think I'm probably going to send Gambit a message after this. Hey, I think your team's just spending too much time playing mutators.
Sounds about right.
I mean, that's got to be what it is. Over Zero and Kronovi just can't get enough of the mutators.
Yeah, we were pretty confident playing them in Rumble, and they just completely destroyed us.
I mean, how can you be confident in a Rumble match?
Oh, come on. Classics was extremely confident, because he carried us. He literally carried us almost every single goal of every Rumble game we had up until the series with G2.
That's hilarious.
He's really good at Rumble.
What makes a player good at Rumble? Like,
knowing how to use the power-ups. Like, if he... Not too many people knew how to use the magnet before Classic started using it. Like, he would use the magnet. He would be like, he'd have the ball, just normally have possession of it. He would pull it up the wall, then activate his magnet, start flying, and the ball would just stick to him. And it's really hard to defend because it's bouncing off him, it's flying around him, it's orbiting him, and he just flies from our side wall all the way into their goal. You can see some highlights on the RLCS Twitter of that. It's really, you know, he knows how to use the power ups.
Okay, all right. Now, I've always wondered this. For Rumble, do you think it's better Because if you sit on a power up, like, all right, you've got like, you know, the spikes or something, and you're waiting for that perfect opportunity to use the spikes, but you're sitting on that, and every moment that you're sitting on a power up means that you're not charging up to the use of another power up, right? Which are obviously good advantages of the game. Do you think it's better to just activate your power ups as soon as possible? Or, like, is it more of a strategic wait for the right moment to activate it kind of thing?
There's more opportunities than you think. There's really no point in waiting for too long. Like, if it's something a bit more useless, like a tornado, then you just want to use it right away and just, like, use their tornado and start driving at the defense, maybe. Like, grab the ball along the way if you can.
Alrighty. Well, I mean, I guess people can go check out the VODs. Definitely, I'm going to look at some of those highlights. I want to know how Classics has cracked the Rumble code.
They show, maybe. There's some highlights on the Twitter as well.
I've never played too much Rumble, and I don't plan on it, so maybe I shouldn't even focus.
It's not your primary thing to practice.
I took a break over the weekend, and I knew I was going to be rusty when I came back last night. But I decided, you know, to get some games in last night. And then I start getting messages while I'm in training, kind of warming up, about like people just saying like, dude, I just like climbed like six divisions from one win. And then I started hearing about this ranking calibration that was happening. And I got kind of pissed off because I was like, great, here I am, super rusty from a 3-day break. And now I'm expected to go in and do this new ranking calibration, whatever. But it turned to work out pretty well. Because I guess with my rank, I was in the top 0.3% of all players, and I made Super Champ in the new calibration setup. So, I mean, that was kind of interesting. Win two games, get Super Champ. I'm sure that someone like you, yeah, now you were Grand Champ, weren't you?
I had just been demoted from Grand Champ to Super Champ the day of, and then I got it back. I was playing twos with Gambit. We lost a lot of games, and then I got it back after like one win. I'm like, wait, something's not right here.
Something's not right.
I'm like 100 points off Grand Champ. What the heck?
Interesting. Now, a couple things that it's important to note is that Cyanix released a super long note about how this works, and that your MMR has not changed at all. All they have done is change the relation of your MMR to your actual represented rank tier, and it is more accurately representative of the distribution of players. So, essentially, the numbers, the blue star tier, you know, rising star and above, accounts for 40% of the available ranks in Rocket League, right? So, you know, a little less than half of any rank you can be in Rocket League is a blue star and above. Yet it only had, I believe, what, like under 5% of all players in it? So they decided that something's a little off, and they bumped up the curve a little bit.
Our Grand Champ, you mean? Like in before the update?
Before the update, if you were rising star and above, you were in the top, I believe, 7% of all ranked players.
Oh my gosh.
So that's why Cyanix decided to do a little bit of tweaking, which meant like someone like me who was superstar ended up being the top 0.3%. This is the first time actually in a long time that Cyanix has given us a percentage of the distribution, which was super fascinating. Yeah. The way that it is now, it's 0.02% of all players are Grand Champ, 0.3% are Super Champ, and 0.5% are Champ, and, you know, it trickles on down. You can look those up in that thread. But a lot of people are complaining, right? Have you seen this on Reddit?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people complaining. A lot of the pros are complaining, actually.
Because, all right, I understand it, right? Because you were a legitimate Grand Champ in the way that the distribution happened to lay in Season 1, or Season 2. What, are we in Season 3? Season 3. I'll get it right. Three times the charm. Now, you reached Grand Champion without any kind of, like, bell curve tweaking.
Yeah.
Right? So this, like, only kind of hurts you, right? Because, obviously, now you're a Grand Champ. But, being reserved for the, like, it was 0.0005%, literally.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous, like 0.005%.
Not even all of the top 100 players were Grand Champ, which is kind of ridiculous to think about in a game that has 20 million players, 10 million of them are ranked. It's kind of weird to think that if you're in the top 100 players of 10 million people that you're not Grand Champ. So it makes sense, but I understand why some of the pros are upset because they feel that like there was this achievement that they had that showed like really easily shown, that kind of means a little less now.
Yep.
Do you feel like, I mean, it obviously, there's no doubt there is less value to Grand Champ now, but do you feel like your position in the ranking system is less valued personally?
Not really. I mean, I welcomed the calibration update, which is 0.005% is way too small a percentage. I think it was SoftGoat that posted some percentages of other games in CSGO.
Yeah, I actually brought those up as a discussion. So if you're curious, CSGO, if you're in Global Elite, it's the top 1%, which is the highest rank you can get. It's the equivalent of Grand Champ. Hearthstone, it's the top 0.5%. StarCraft 2, 0.5%. League of Legends, 0.01%. And then Rocket League was at 0.005%.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's just kind of funny. I obviously think that that it was definitely a super good change. And I think it's important. There's a lot of people. At first, I felt kind of cheated, all right? Because I was getting super close to reaching champion on my own. So when I reached super champ through this like random thing, I immediately felt like I didn't earn this. Like, there's just a bunch of super champs now that like I've been playing already in my superstar like range that, you know, like nothing's changed. And it's true, nothing's really changed. But then I kind of realized exactly what it means. Last season, I finished my highest possible rank was Champion Division 2. That's the highest I was able to climb last season. Now, taking into account that the entire Rocket League community has been getting better, and then when this distribution is set to match up with last season's distribution, and I hit Super Champ Division 3, it made me realize that I've been progressing not only from where I was last season, but also a little bit faster than the entire community has been progressing, because as everyone has gotten better, I was still able to climb a rank and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I think they made an error at the beginning of the season, and they're just correcting it. It was way too hard to get higher ranks this season than last.
You don't think they overdid it, right?
Not really. I mean, you could see the solo, standard, and standard ranks, like the highest ranks for those. I think there's like maybe a few champions in solo standard, and it was all-star was probably the highest in solo standard, and it was like champion, it was the highest in standard. It was something ridiculous like that. Like, you couldn't even get super champion anything besides ones and twos.
I was 80 points off of top 100 in standard, and I was all-star.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why they did this as well. So you get grand champion all four.
Yeah. I definitely think that they more closely match each other. That's, I think, the most important part of the calibration. Yeah. Is I remember it was like super difficult to hit anything close to champ in solo standard anytime, but now I think I'm superstar in it and about to push champ in it. So definitely makes sense that they're doing it on a distribution basis, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we have guests on the show. I guess I'm just going to treat you like a guest because you decided to walk into the studio or whatever and, like, you know, just willy-nilly take over Savage's spot. I have a game I want to play with you, Pluto.
Okay.
Last time, first off, congratulations on being the first ever guest to appear twice on our show. You were the first ever, you were on like episode one, the pilot of Live from Manfield. So, I mean, this is like...
Really?
Yeah, you were on episode one.
Is that what that was?
No,
It's been so long.
It has, dude. It's crazy to think the show's almost been going for a year now. Oh, anywho. So you're the first person ever to come back on the show twice. After we've tortured you enough, you decided to come back for more. So whatever.
Whatever.
It's kind of like, you know, Saturday Night Live. You got people who like join like the five times hosting club and stuff like that. You're going to be the first, I think, to reach five times host of guest of Live from Manfield.
Oh, yeah.
Last time we had you on the show, you played a game which was real or fake PlayStation 4 names, where we took some of the best console names ever, and you had to guess which one was the real one in the list of three. I want to play a similar game. One of the funny things about Rocket League tournaments, and I'm sure if anyone has ever signed up for a tournament, they've seen this, are some of the random team names that people come up with and sign up with their crew with. So I want to play real or fake team names. Now, there's a trick. I could, obviously, there's like thousands and thousands of random team names that people have signed up with. But I've gone from only the major tournaments in the past 2 weeks, so Mythical Esports, the Pro Rival League, and the Shift Pro League, And I've only gotten teams that finished fourth place or higher.
Ooh.
In these tournaments, just to give you a fighting chance.
Thank you.
So if you're listening, feel free to play along at home. Of course, we don't give you a prize for winning. We give one of our lucky Patreon patrons a prize for winning. So you're playing for Lennox, one of our all-star patrons on patreon.com/LFManfield. So if you get 3 out of 5 of these team names correct, then he will be taking home a set of painted tunicas.
Oh.
Yep.
Pressure.
Here we go. Team number 1, Ferocious Bears.
Not real.
This is Hawkshot's new team. In fact, they finished 3rd place in the Mythical Esports tournament last night.
Trat.
Okay, that's okay. You got plenty of time. Number 2, Genesis. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
The Tiny Ticklers.
The Tiny Ticklers. Oh, man. Not real.
It's true. It is a fake one. I came up with that. That's off of Nox's brain steps there.
Good, good.
The Boosted Deuces.
The Boosted Deuces. I should pay attention to names in tournaments. I thought I'd have a chance with the top 4 and up, but I'm going to say this team is real.
Uh-oh, it's fake. It's okay. You've just got to get the next 2 right.
Okay.
And then Lennox gets to take home the prize. I think you can do it. First off, Boosted Deuces is a great name for a team. If someone's not signing up in like a tournament here soon with the name Boosted Deuces and crediting Nox Phoenix for the name,
you seriously. Need to come up with better or worse fake names. Nox.
It's true. I'm too creative.
Yeah.
This one is called the Leviathans of Rocket Driftin'.
Oh, that one's real.
You played them, didn't you?
I think so. I saw it recently.
I got the bracket up right. Oh, no, you didn't. You were about to, but then,
I saw it on the bracket, at least. That's why I know.
Yep. You guys were about to play them in the semifinals of the, shit? No. When you guys just did it.
Was it PRL?
Yep. All right. There you go. Last one, which is interesting, you know. This is a 50-50. Seal Cub Clubbing.
That's not the full name, but there's a Seal Club, Clubbing Club, something like that. So... I'd say there's a team that it's real.
Final answer?
Yes.
It's real. You did it.
You didn't say the whole name.
The Seal Cub Clubbing Club. Sorry.
There you go. That's Husky's team. That's the name Husky always uses in team in tournaments.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I wouldn't even know. See, this is where your expertise.
Oh yeah.
Come into play. Well, there you go, Lennox. Congratulations. Make sure that you hit me up this week, and I will get you your You're painted tunicas.
You're welcome.
And that brings us... What?
Said you're welcome.
Yeah, thank Pluto too. Hit him up on Twitter. And become a Genesis fan. Join us. There are dozens of us.
Join us. There are literally tens of fans.
You know, there's probably a ton of fans now with how well you guys are doing in the RLCS. I think I've seen in several people's... You know there's Fantasy Rocket League now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen in several of the fantasy brackets, you guys are favorited to win, so don't let us down.
Is there like updated fantasy brackets now?
People have been sharing them on Twitter, that's where I've been finding them.
I know there's a lot of people didn't pick us because we were in the losers bracket for the original qualifier.
Right. Well, it was, I think Softgoat has you guys winning the whole thing.
Oh yeah, thank you Softgoat.
See, no one like knew what I knew. At the beginning, the first RLCS, because I've been a Genesis fan. Since it was before Genesis, it was what was it when it was you and you guys had Sad?
Oh yeah.
I forget what you guys even played. You guys played under like a Canadian name or something, didn't you?
We jokingly used the name Team Rocket Canada for like a few days, but yeah. We used Plutonium Intruders more often.
That's true. Yeah. So, I mean, people are just now catching the fever. It's going to happen. That brings us to one of my favorite segments of the show.
The Weekly Whiffs!
This is where the hosts of the show just share what they've been up to in the game of Rocket League. And so, Pluto, how's this past week of Rocket League been for you? You got any funny stories? What have you been doing? What's up?
I don't have any funny stories.
Well, that sucks.
But we've been playing quite a few tournaments. Including Midseason Mayhem. And we played PRL recently. adjusted their schedules. They have like 2v2 tournaments on Sundays and 3v3 on Mondays. So we played. I played the 2v2 with Chrome. No, we were playing. No, it was me, Chrome, and Prem in ESL that day, and we got destroyed really early. So me and Chrome were like, oh, let's just do PRL, since we got knocked out so early. So and Insolences and Classics were also playing, so we met them in the finals, and we whooped their butts, and they were so salty. It was great. You can see a VOD of that. That was actually a really good series for twos, if you want to learn some stuff.
Ooh, yeah, I can. There's a VOD? Yes. We will post a link to that VOD in our show notes. I will look that up and after this episode. Mm. Guaranteed. And you should too.
All right. It's always mom.
So, this past week for myself started off rough with my team's Discord blowing up with three members deciding to leave in the same day. I'm not even sure if they coordinated together, but like four walls of text were posted, and then they were just like, hey, we're going to be leaving. Alrighty then. So, Jaboy's LFT again, which is always fun. Being on the bubble LFT, highly recommend. No, I don't.
Rip.
Pluto, you don't know what it's like, man. Like,
I don't. I really don't.
You're a huge name, and so, like, I mean, the second that you were to put LFT at the end of your name, like, you'd get hit up by, you know, several of the top five teams.
I just don't put it in my name. It's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. But it's tough, dude, to find a core group of people who are, like, mature and, like, you know, also mesh well and understand rotation, but also at the same time can hit the ball consistently.
Yeah, it really is.
Pretty tough. I took a break this weekend, and I legitimately thought I was going to die. I went whitewater rafting in the Gully River, which was in West Virginia. It is the river in the United States that has claimed the most fatalities from whitewater rafting. I did 5 class 5 rapids, so I legitimately was afraid I was going to die. Actually, funny enough,
jeez.
I was more afraid that I was going to break a hand because I don't know anyone who's died from whitewater rafting in the Gully. But I do know two people who have broken their hands whitewater rafting in the Gully, and so I was really afraid that I wasn't going to be able to come back and play Rocket League. I think I would rather die. And then I came back to Rank Calibration Night, where I had trouble winning those two games to set my new calibration because I had just taken a 3-day break and couldn't even figure out how to hit the ball. So, yeah, you know. But what I've decided is that I'm going to do an experiment this week, and I've noticed that there's a little bit of a skill gap from me and the players that I want to be playing with. So this week I'm going to dedicate at least 5 hours for the week into nothing but training and Rocket League Trainer. And so I will post the results and let you know if I'm a way better player or if I'm a way worse player at the end of it. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
Have you ever had to just grind mechanics, Pluto?
Not really.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, I more or less just play the game and find something and leak in. I'll just try to focus on it in game, I guess.
So I've got an interesting question. All right, I'm trying to word it. It's kind of weird. Do you think that because you are a SARP vet and that you've been able to play at the top level that like this whole time that since you were able to progress mechanically and rotationally at the top, that you haven't had like the need to like grind out mechanics so much? Or do you think that it's more of there's people with natural talent towards the game, and then there are people that have to work on things a little harder versus just being naturally good?
It's that way with every sport, basically. There's people with natural talent and people that have to work for it.
Okay. I'm asking which do you think is more of a factor?
Okay. Like, you mean, like, which pros, like, which one, how many of the pros are, like, natural, or?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. I mean, most of the SARP vets, I mean, there's a lot of SARP vets that aren't pro players, that they either just weren't that great or had real life issues that prevented them from playing, but there's a lot of natural talent players, like Jacob and Garrett and Squishy Muffins and... I mean, Lachinio's a bit of both. Latch is like, he was a natural learner, but he had played SARP as well, so he's kind of a powerhouse, him and Kronovi. But I mean, I can't really pick which one is more waited on the pro scene.
Well, then it's time for everyone's favorite segment. I want to talk! All right, sorry, you're new. We'll get you a break.
I don't watch this podcast.
Yeah, well, it'd be difficult to watch anyway, being an audio podcast.
Wow. Call me out.
All right. So I you know, do the intro song. I want to talk. It's a call and response. So it's like, I want to talk. And you're like, talk. And then, like, you know, it's kind of like the song, like, I want to rock.
Talk.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, it's okay. You doing that, you've already done better than Savage.
So, yes.
Because he refuses.
Better watch out,
week
Savage.
In, out. All right. Nox Talks. The segment where I bring a random topic to discuss, percolate on, get in deep with week in and week out. And we've talked about some deep stuff, we've talked about some shallow stuff for the Nox Talks, but this week I've got a rather interesting one. Along that same lines of me grinding mechanics and stuff, I want to talk about some of the fine-tuned mechanics of Rocket League. All right, things that you may have seen pop up on Reddit posts, you see all of the YouTube tutorials for them. I'm talking things like half flips, wave dashing, air dribbles, things that, you know, you really have to focus on learning that you would never have just organically thought of doing until you saw someone else do it. Here's my question. In the pro scene, you know, with some of these newer mechanics and stuff like half flips and wave dashing, do you think that there is a big place for it, or is it something that's kind of avoided? You get to see more of the upper level play than I do. What do you think?
I mean, you can play at the top level and not do these things, but they really come in handy. Like, I can think of like at least two or three times in the last 2 weeks that I've seen wave dashing and half flips win games and or score goals, I guess. Like, Espeon, he's huge on that kind of stuff. Like, he can air dribble, wave dash, and half flip. He's probably one of the best players in the world at being able to do all those things. Like, I can remember one time, I think it was the week two of league play, where he was taking the ball up the wall, and he made some kind of mistake to where the ball went out too far, and he had to, like, flip away from it. And he did a wave dash. No, he actually hit the ball off the wall, and it was slowly rolling in. But if he hadn't wave dashed off the wall, he wouldn't have been able to finish it himself. Like, it would have been blocked easily. So it's just stuff like that. Like, wave dashing, it's not many people know about it, but it can be useful. It's somewhat difficult, but I guess you get the hang of it. I've not really been able to incorporate it into my playstyle yet. I've been still working on half living as well. But yeah.
When it comes to, I've never done half flips. I've always done the, like, just the, like, half rotation back boost twist kind of thing. So, like, the fake half flip.
Fake half? You mean like, you like, stop your flip, your back flip halfway and just twist? Like, air
roll? No. Okay, so instead of activating a dodge, I just jump, boost upside down backwards, and then twist. That's usually how I turn around. So it's not the fast half flip method. However, I've actually been using wave dashing kind of, like, naturally in, like, in my, like, ranked games. And it's interesting because, like, it was actually easier to incorporate than I thought it would be. If you get, like, a feel for it just, like, a night or two in free play, then you kind of, like, realize how to set your car up for it and time it. Now, there are a couple times when I've, like, ended up flipping with my, like, nose crushing the ground and I end up losing, like, a full second, which kind of sucks because if you mess up a wave dash, like, you aren't only just, like, penalized for not doing the mechanic you were trying, but you're penalized for sending your car flipping onto the ground, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it's got one application that I think probably if you're going to play the game seriously, you should use it for. And that's if you are Spider-Manning over the crossbar and you need to get down. It's amazingly fast because you will always lose all your momentum as soon as you can go straight to the ground. But if you wave dash out of that landing, you get your momentum back. It's pretty crucial.
That's the main reason for learning wave dashing is gaining speed when you're jumping off the wall.
So... yeah, I don't think it's going to be used as a fake. I mean, that's a long fake to have to pull off in a high-speed game. But you said, like, you don't know how, like, you think you can still be a pro player without knowing things like half flips and wave dashing?
The scene is so early. I mean, I think in a year or two from now, stuff like that would probably be mandatory. But right now, people can get along without hat flipping and wave dashing.
And I think that you hit on a good point. Like, it's too early for those. They're new mechanics, right?
Yeah, it's
hat flip is just really a couple months old. The wave dash is a month old.
Yeah.
But I think, like, the best example of it is air dribbling. I remember when air dribbling was first, I mean, it wasn't even called air dribbling. It was called Pashy, like, because he was one of the only people, like, in the world that could do it. I remember, like, first off, seeing Pashy do it and then thinking, like, holy crap, I'm never going to be able to do that. And no one else is either. He's like, that's just his thing. And so, like, I remember having this mindset, like, I don't have to learn that. It's not going to ever be required in a game. And now I think it'd be pretty safe to say that if you're going to be in a top 20, top 50 team, you probably need to know how to pull off an air dribble when it's necessary. Would you agree?
Air dribbling isn't really, I don't think it's not going to help you a ton to be know how to air dribble at the right times. There's really not many times that an air dribble is, like, the right decision to make. But it is, like, the mechanics behind it are really useful to know. So I think if you learn how to air dribble, you don't necessarily have to air dribble every time, but it helps you in other situations.
Yeah, not every time. I think especially in 2v2, I mean, getting that extra oomph over the back player when they're not expecting a third, fourth, or fifth touch.
Yeah.
I think that can be the difference between games. But I don't know. You would definitely know better than me. This is weird because usually Savage defers to me to know these things, but now this isn't working out. All right. So I think that's actually a good point because there are a ton of times, especially in 1v1s, dude. Oh, gosh.
Oh,
when people go for air dribbles,
man. You should see, like, see Espeon 1v1. He gets so bored in 1v1s that he'll start air dribbling off the wall, and he won't successfully pull it off, and he'll just let his opponents score. But that's why he doesn't play 1v1s.
So he'll lose games because he's bored.
Yeah, he just shouldn't play them. he plays them when he wants to work on his ground game, but okay. It's so boring. 1v1s are so boring.
I hate 1v1s.
Most of my team does. We all hate them.
So there's the goal right there. Just you have to be a player to hate one, right?
It's interesting. Some, like, if you talk to, like, Zane, Jackie, or Chrome, like, those players like that, they don't play 1v1s, period. Like, Zane has never played a lot of 1v1s. Chrome neither. Chrome's just now starting to work on his mechanics in 1v1s. He asked me to 1v1 him a few times in privates, and I beat him 10-1.
Wow, there it is.
But he's just fine in threes. It's just the mindset, I guess.
I think there's a big enough difference in twos to threes. Like,
yep.
If the pro format was 2v2, I would not be able to consider myself even close to it. But because that it's a 3v3, hard-hitting, like, fast-passing kind of format, like, I have a much better shot because that's the type of player that I am, if that makes sense. Like, let alone threes to 1v1s. Like, that's just insane. I don't understand how there are players that are, like, good at both, though. Like Crow is a good example. Crow and Scrub, like, they can play a rotational format, and they can, you know, hit the ball hard, and they can do sick passes and redirects all the time, but they can also at the same time, like, pull off three jukes and keep control of the ball on their Octane and take you to school in a 1v1.
Yeah, it definitely helps to be good at all the playlists. There's certain skills that help you, and there's certain 1v1 skills that'll do you a lot of good in 3v3, so on and so forth.
What kind of skills do you think you need from Chaos?
I'm pretty sure there are no skills involved in Chaos. I'm still waiting for some kind of competitive 4v4 mode with a giant map.
You know, honestly, I've thought about this, and I think I've even talked about it on the show. I want a 5v5 competitive match.
Yeah, just a bigger game in general. I want to see that. More strategy.
Yeah, more strategy, because you have people playing different formations. Like, I remember it was, like, a thing during the early pro scene of Rocket League. You had, like, I mean, it was, like, Cosmic Aftershock at the time. They played, like, a 1-2 formation where it was literally Crow and Sad, like, just going for as many crazy shots as possible, and Gibbs just, like, keeping everyone safe. And then, like, everyone thought that was the way that you had to play until, like, teams like you with Untethered or... I mean, Kings of Urban was one of the teams, too, that really shook up the rotational format and be like, no, you need to get all three men involved in the attack.
Yeah.
So, like, that was one of the coolest changes, but now I don't think there's much more room for strategic difference in Rocket League. There's a few things here and there, but like in a 5v5 format, you're going to have players doing like, you know, being the right side player and being the left side player, or being the, you know, like I'm a front player and like I'm a back player. Like those kind of things are going to be, that'd be super fun in positions.
Yeah, be interesting.
But you know, would you be on board if Rocket League just came out one day and said, we're switching to a completely 5v5 professional format. There will be no further RLCS matches in 3v3. What would you think?
I'd have to go along with it.
I'd have to go along with it.
I have no choice.
That's just, okay. That, all right. But would you be happy? Would you be like, oh, that sucks?
If they did it that suddenly, I wouldn't be happy, obviously.
Okay. Well,
just, after RLCS Season 2, they just randomly, oh, 3v3 sucks. We're making a bigger map, and you're going to play five-man teams.
That is going to do it for us this week. Pluto, thank you so much for filling Savage's shoes when he's in recovery. In all seriousness, Savage does have a concussion. We were not joking about that. So send him your positive thoughts, your prayers, and let him know that you're thinking of him so that he can get to focusing on a computer and stuff again, because it's difficult for him right now. So, all right, man. Any closing thoughts from you?
Nope, nothing.
Cool. Thanks so much, dude.
No problem.
Anyways, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks to Pluto for filling Savage's rather large shoes to fill. He did a super awesome job. And also is the reason that we have him back as our first person to come back on the show twice in a row. I want to thank our Rocket tweeters. These are super awesome people who tweet about the show using the LF Manfield hashtag or tagging us in their tweet. This really helps us get the word out about our show because we don't pay to advertise in any kind of way. So I'm talking about dudes like Declan Sparkling Sparling. Sparkling Sparling, my man, dude. Jesper Ole, 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 Ole. Son, Jesper Oleson. And you're obese, wizard. Those are our top Rocket tweeters because they've done this so many times in and out. So if you tweet about the show and you do it for so many consecutive weeks, you become a top Rocket tweeter like those three excellent people. But also, we have our other Rocket tweeters. I'm talking about Eli Crabtree, Matrix Evo, Scott Wishart, Iguana Sandwich, Corp RL, and Lennox. Thank you guys so much. Speaking of Lennox, I want to welcome you to being a patron for the show. We have a patreon.com/LFManfield where if you would think that you want to support the show, you can check it out. The show will always be free, but some of the stuff does cost us money. Speaking of which, we're actually going to have an exciting announcement. We are signing on with Blog Talk Radio. They found the show. They like our content. And essentially, it creates a way for us to basically get our content to more people, but also have some opportunities to maybe make some income to kind of recoup some of the costs that we spend on paying for the hosting fees, paying for our audio software and our microphones and stuff like that. So the only way that that will affect you is you guys may sometimes hear the occasional advertisement in our show. And we don't want to waste you guys' time. We're going to try to choose and make sure that we have advertisements that are only pertinent to you guys. And in fact, we may even be able to get a couple deals for you guys on services like Loot Crate or other gaming-related products and services where we can actually get you like 20% off on those kind of things if you sign up using our specific Live from Manfield coupon code. So just look for that in the future. If you hear an advertisement in the middle of the show, it's not because we sold out. It's just because we are excited about all the things that signing up with a podcast network can do for us. I want to thank, once again, though, our Patreon patrons, Pfeiffer, Jay, Pastronaut, Geddon Archon, Pate Saint Mate, Blaze, Lennox, Zydal, and Epic Ariel. You guys are awesome. You make this show possible. You literally keep us going. We also provide bonus content specifically only to our patron supporters. We have a new one coming to you this week that I'm a little excited about. So make sure that you scroll back to, if you're a patron supporter, then scroll back to Patreon to look for a post coming this week because it's going to be pretty cool. I haven't been able to stream lately. Savage hasn't been able to stream lately because internet's just a difficult thing to work with, trying to stream up and play the game on a competitive level. But I did want to recommend a streamer to you, Iridium. If you look up twitch.tv/IridiumRL, you will find a fantastic, positive dude, good at the game, and a fun streamer to hang out with. And he's literally streaming every single night. Sometimes for up to 5 to 6 hour streams at a time. So check him out. Super cool dude. My closing quote for today is by Balthazar Gracian. And until next week, thank you so much for listening. I'm Knox Phoenix. And remember, a wise man gets more use from his enemies than a fool from his teammates.